Oh, man, this is an absolute treat. Brendan McCaffrey, who now does incredible work for Sirius XM NFL as one of the managers and producers over there, he did every job here at The Score before he left to make a lot more money. And we couldn't be happier for him. And we are happy that he has been at Hallis Hall the last couple of days so we can pick his brain. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You should check it out. I was there a couple of weeks ago. The pool is fantastic. Stadium swim is the best. B-Mac, what's up, man?
Lawrence, Matt, how we doing, Speegs? I called you Matt. That's how long it's been. I called you. Nobody calls you Matt.
No,
Speegs. I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. You can call me whatever the hell you want, dude. This is really nice. I mean, like Lawrence said, you did every job there was to do here.
None of them well. I did do many jobs. That's true.
But you've known the both of us for so long. You knew us. Different shows, different iterations. How weird is it that this is the afternoon show, by the way? That it's me and Lawrence as like, like we are the veteran stalwarts holding down the fort in afternoons. Isn't that kind of crazy?
A little bit, but like, I mean, you guys are the second generation, right? Like,
yes.
we had the people that started the station in 92, and then you guys came in, a few years later, and you were the leaders, you know. I remember as an intern and a young producer, like, working with you guys. One of my first jobs was Hamp and Holmes, when Chris Collins got promoted, and I, was working that show with you every day, Lawrence. Like, I learned a lot about doing this job. And Speegs, hit and run. You know, I did some hit and run stuff with you for many years. So, you guys have always been versatile and talented, and you work hard and eventually come to people that deserve it. So I'm happy that you guys are in afternoon. So,
all right. Well, that's all we wanted. That's all we wanted.
Nope.
Hey, Tanny is not fair. And that's the only reason we called Brendan. Good talking to you, buddy.
Wow,
thanks so much.
You went really looking for the validation from B-Mac there.
Well, this is the Mr. and Mr. Validation show.
It is, but I figured we'd talk about B-Mac and his one and a half beautiful children.
Let's do that now. A half child.
So you got another one coming?
Another boy. My son Danny turns 2 in a couple weeks, and we have another boy due in January. So I call Danny's the outside baby, and the one in my wife's pregnant with the inside baby. So we'll see the inside baby, right as it turns into 2026.
So
very excited.
What's been the most interesting thing about fatherhood for you?
Well, before I get to that, I would say that I wish somebody would have told me, people will give a lot of unsolicited advice to parents. The one piece of advice I would have loved to have gotten from somebody was to, get your fat ass in shape, because I've gotten in shape now, but when my son was born a couple years ago, I was not in shape. And, chasing after him now, lifting him up our 3 flights of stairs at our place, and, it's been, I'm just glad that I finally figured that one out. But fatherhood's been great. My wife says that I'm the favorite parent. I don't know if I'm certainly not the better parent, but my son is, we're thick as thieves, and it's great. Like, and he looks like a blonde version of me. So I hope to God this kid keeps his hair longer than I did.
I love that, man. Love that for you guys. That's so freaking great.
Oh, and if I may, just for those of you out there, like IVF. Both exceptions were IVF. So, we had struggles with that, and it's not something I'm like, obviously I'm willing to share it because I'm sharing it with a 50,000 watt radio station, but, it was, it's like a miracle. So, it's been pretty cool.
That makes me happy for you guys and even if you look at B-Mac's Twitter, like he shares it, and the fact that you guys are graced with a baby no matter how you got it, I think is wonderful, because you're both wonderful people. And I love that you wanted to be parents and you're parents and you're taking care of those kids the way that they should be taken care of, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So we appreciate you. And we know that you talk to a ton of people around the NFL. We know that you jump into Chicago occasionally to see what's going on as you're producing shows for NFL XM Sirius. Can you walk me through, since you saw Ryan Poles last year as the Hard Knock stuff was going on, and you see Ryan Poles now, is there any difference in this guy?
Yeah, I would think there is. He is not the biggest swinging you-know-what in the building anymore. And that's Ben Johnson. He, and this is just from what I'm, you know, I've gathered, what I've observed, but he is there to serve this head coach. And I don't know, you know, that's not like a crazy revelation based on what they're paying Ben Johnson, but he's there to put Ben Johnson's wishes, you know, like basically make it all happen. You saw what they did with the offensive line additions. You know, Ben Johnson got here and said, well, I had Penei Sewell and I had Taylor Decker and I had, you know, an offensive line that could protect and that could run a great play action. And he needed that here. And, you know, with those additions, I think he's gotten it. So I just feel like Ryan Poles is like, you know, just another member of Ben Johnson's staff. And he's going to get the groceries.
Wow. Brendan McCaffrey, this is something that a lot of us have wanted for a long time. And the McCaskies have been afraid, I believe, to give that power to a head coach. And I think Kevin Warren has done a good job managing the McCaskies and getting them to sign on for this and let the head coach be the godhead, you know, top of the organizational flowchart, because that's the way that most NFL teams, good ones anyway, work, isn't it? This is where you, as the national guy, you look around, there's not many teams where the GM is the boss. Howie Roseman is the boss in Philly, but like there's, yep. But a lot of places, most places, it's the coach in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the best organizations, like if you want to look at what the Seahawks did in the Pete Carroll era, you know, like Pete Carroll was hired and brought John Schneider in. Now, obviously Pete Carroll's out, but like, I guarantee you with the Raiders, John Spytek is going to be working for Pete Carroll. That is how that's going to work. Mike Vrabel in New England, Elliot Wolf, their pro personnel guy, basically the de facto GM. He's not going to be telling Mike Vrabel what to do. Mike Vrabel is going to be like, I need this guy. You know, they go out and get Stephon Diggs. Like, Mike Vrabel's the one calling the shots. I would expect the Patriots to have quite a turnaround because that division's kind of weak. The Bears are trying to follow that playbook. You know, I was at Lions camp, and I would argue Brad Holmes is pretty empowered, but like still, as soon as Dan Campbell got into that building, everything has changed. And he's not like, I don't know, I don't think he's some master tactician. Like, he's not some wonky football guy. He's just a guy who sets expectations, is a great people person, and gets his people to buy in. And Brad Holmes has done an incredible job as the GM there, you know, drafting the guys they've had. You know, I think maybe you could even say the same thing in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, because Kevin O'Connell is a hell of a head coach. And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, like, you know, they're, I would imagine that Kevin O'Connell signed off on the whole J.J. McCarthy thing, you know, as Kirk Cousins was nearing the end. And if they weren't comfortable with J.J. McCarthy, then Sam Darnold probably still would have been there. So, yeah, I do think the best organizations run that way, where the GM is serving the head coach, you know, a partnership or even like a, you know, like a subordinate almost.
Our guy, Brendan McCaffrey from SiriusXM NFL Radio, is joining us, and he's our guy because he started his career here at The Score. He has been to you've been to all of the training camps since you've been at Sirius?
No, I've been to Bears. I come to Bears every year You know, they can save on the hotel room, so I can. I'm actually
stay with
in my
the family.
Driveway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm in my rental car. I have to catch a flight to O'Hare in a couple hours, so I got to frantically pack and head to the airport in a little bit. I've been to Bears. I've been to Lions a couple times. Last year, a coworker's wife got COVID right before the tour, and I on like 24 hours notice went to Patriots, Bills, Lions, Steelers, and Browns, all within those are all in like over the course of 6 days. By the way, Steelers camp is incredible.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what was your favorite?
Probably the Steelers. They do a Friday night. We broadcast on a Friday night, and they do it under the lights at this local high school. And it's really cool. Like, we tape interviews kind of the day before with, like, Mike Tomlin and last year was Russell Wilson. And then we had Art Rooney, the owner, Art Rooney II, on, like, at the stadium. He came and sat with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin on our camp show. So that's really cool. I will say I love the Lions camp. They treat us. And we never have any issues getting the guests that we're looking for. So, pretty cool. It's been a lot of fun to, and I think I have one more stop. I'm going to be in Canton next week for the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. That's one of my, that's actually how I got hired. Cause when Brian Urlacher went in, my boss saw me. I think Lawrence, you were down there, right? I think we got like Andre Reed on and
yeah,
I was chasing down anybody who was in the video game Tecmo Super Bowl. I was like, oh, you're in Tecmo Super Bowl? You're coming on the air. So.
I was telling these guys, BMAC, about that trip. Do you remember Chris Carter stopping while we were talking about Johnny Manziel? Like, we're sitting there, and it's like we're just in a hallway doing the show. And BMAC and I are talking about Johnny Manziel. Like, I think he was playing in the CFL at that time. And he was terrible in a game, and we were looking at the statistics of it, and we had said something about it, and Chris Carter, it was like a commercial. Chris Carter walked by, and he heard us, and he goes, football is hard. And he just kept walking after he said that. It was an amazing moment. Me and BMAC are like, what just happened right there? Like, Chris Carter, when CC was listening to us do our thing down there, we were watching Urlacher get in his enshrinement.
I don't remember that at all, but that is one of the best parts of going down there. Like, you know, you'd run into like Jerry Kramer, or you run into these guys that can all like, you know, spin a fun yarn. And then you've got, I won't name names, but let's just say, how do I put this? A very famous defensive tackle, Tampa 2 defense, usually is walking around drunk a lot. He's been on our air once. Now, he wasn't drunk at the time, but he's always a fun person to run into.
Yeah,
but, you just get that. You get those like legends of the game, and it's pretty funny. Yeah, put Chris Carter down on the guest list. He came on if anybody asked.
What do you feel like you've learned about the NFL? You know, as a lifelong Bears guy who's now gotten a chance to talk to so many people and see these different camps, what do you feel like you've learned about the way the league works that that you did not realize?
My wife Katie likes to use a term: the speed of the leader is the speed of the group. That phrase, you know, everybody's heard that one, but I believe that as it relates to ownership. So, if your owner knows what they are doing, everything can fall in line from that. You know. You look at the teams that are consistently good, the Eagles, the Ravens. I mean, yeah, okay, these teams will have dips occasionally, but like, you know, and the Lions, I you know, don't want to bring everything back to the Lions, but like when Sheila Ford Hamp took over, I mean, we're Bears fans. We saw what the Lions had been for most of our adult lives, with the exception of like some Barry Sanders years. But even then, the farthest they got, I think, was an NFC championship. But as soon as she took over, you know, she makes these changes, she brings in Dan Campbell, and like that's a first class operation over there. So that is the number one thing I've learned, is that like ownership everything starts from there. And if they know what they're doing, then generally speaking, they're going to find the right people to get the job done under them. They're going to hire the right coach. They're going to hire the right personnel people, and let those guys do their jobs. You know, like that. That's the other thing. They're not really going to meddle. That they're going to set expectations, hire people, and let them do their jobs. So. That's what I've learned.
Last thing before we let you go. Give us a favorite score memory, a favorite show you worked on, or a favorite day that when you think back to your time here that jumps out at you.
I really can't name just one because, like, there's just a flood of memories coming back to me right now.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them were in Canny's production piece there. Like, we did a score head of the year, like, right when I was either an intern or right when we started. And it was just like, you know, and I apologize, Mitch. I don't mean to sideswipe you, but like, I don't know if Mitch typed the questions, but like, there are these questions up on a board and a Abaticole is reading them because it's like a trivia contest. And it was in Palatine. I forgot the bar, but downtown Palatine. And there were like spelling errors and like, you know, it was just like grammar errors and Matt was making fun of it. And it was just so funny, you know. Some of the roasts, like the Doug Buffone roast, was great. I mean, hearing Doug and OB there, like in that, you know, in the little rejoin there was, you know, I miss Doug. It's been, we just passed 10 years.
Yeah.
With Doug gone. And that's the other thing. When I got to NFL radio, you know, I got there in 2018, Doug had been gone. And all I could think of was like, how many times would I have booked Doug Buffone to come on NFL radio, like as a guest? I had to have him on every week. Like he's just, you know, was the best. So getting to produce those game shows for a couple years was great. And I will tell one story quickly that nobody knows other than Chris Tannehill. And don't worry, Tanning, it's not like we're going to get in trouble, but there was a caller, what, Jack in Arizona. I told this last night. I was hanging out with Tanny. And he would call, and I don't even know if he's still alive. Hopefully he is. Hi, Jack. But he's a big-time score listener. He'd call in and just have, like, a terrible, terrible call in the Bears postgame. And one day, we were out at a bar doing Doug and OB, and I just decided, I was like, you know what? Turn the phone pot on and off while he's on the air, and we'll pretend like he has a bad connection, and then we'll just hang up on him. So, of course, you know, Doug and OB don't know any better, and we just messed with Jack in Arizona, like, oh, sorry, guys, I guess his phone, you know, must not have paid his phone bill, you know? So, stuff like that, behind-the-scenes stuff.
You know? You are retroactively fired. That's it.
He can't be fired. He's a sports director. Oh, he can't be fired. He fires us.
Well, he's retroactively fired from the score. Congratulations on that.
B-Mac. I wasn't a sports director then.
That's true. B-Mac, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Go make your flight, and thanks for doing our Bears report for us today.
Thanks, man. Say hi to Katie, please.
Please do.
Say hi to Katie.
I will definitely. I'm probably listening back in New Jersey and hoping that I make it home. And thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Sorry, there wasn't much Bears info in there, but...
No, this is better.
This is better.
This was totally better.
Do our best.
Be well.
You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.